All right, Shalom Abracha, thank you so much for joining. As we jump into our Sichas Aran Shir, it's been a couple of weeks since we last learned, so it's a privilege and a zechus to be able to carry on the journey with all of you, those who are here in person live and those who will be listening to the recording afterwards, Be'ezras Hashem. Okay, so we have a very interesting, a bit of an enigmatic teaching today. We're going to try to make it as practical as we possibly can. Learning a sefer means that you don't skip around. You try your best to learn every piece and to be able to find and discover and reveal relevance in whatever piece it is that we happen to be up to. So now we're up to Sichas Aran 93, Tzadi Gimel, and the tzadik says like this: Da, a person needs to know. Sheyesh Ar, there's a light. Shehu Meir be'elef olamos. There's some kind of spiritual illumination that shines in a thousand worlds. And we know we've mentioned in the past that when we speak about worlds in the sense of the spiritual structure of the universe, we're not speaking about worlds like we have a world, and then there are other worlds and other galaxies in the universe. Right? Over here, we're speaking about realms, spiritual realms, that for lack of a better word, we call them Olamais, in the same way that we call our own world an olam, which means that it hides, it conceals, it is a vessel within which there's chiyus Eloki. That's why these places are called worlds, because they're not Elokus, not Mamash Hashem, or Hashem's infinite expression, his expressive energy, but these are also different kalim for that light of Elokus, that the same way that this world is an Olam because it's filled with a lower level Chiyus that manifests in this realm, which we call the Olam HaGashmir, the Olam HaAsiyah. There are other realms. There's the Olam HaYetzirah, the world of creation, or rather the world of formation. There's the world of Bria, the world of creation. And of course, there's the world of Atzilus, the world that's the closest to the ultimate expression of divinity. But all these are called worlds because they, in their own ways, conceal the divine energy and thereby reveal it to those who are only capable of being able to perceive limitation. But be that as it may, that's why we refer to these places as worlds, but it's not actually a world, you understand, like a universe. These are spiritual realms. So Rabbi Nachman over here reveals that there is a R, there's a light, Shehu Meir be'elef olamos, that shines in a thousand of these realms. V'zeh ha'ar, and when it comes to this incredibly elevated, this incredibly lofty light, Ein Adam Pasha Diachol Kabel Nachmas Gadol. A simple person cannot access this incredibly lofty light because it's way too overwhelming. It's way too great. It's way too expansive. So what do? How does a person access this Gilui Elokus, this revelation of godliness that shines in a thousand realms? How does a person access this? Obviously, it's there for a reason. It's not there arbitrarily. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is revealing a certain R because he wants that the human beings should find a way to be able to access it, to tap into it, to gain from it, to grow from it. So how do we access this light? Bitzarech lazeh chacham gadol, says Rabbi Nachman, you need a big tzaddik, a great, great, great chacham, a very wise man or woman, a very wise tzaddik or tzaddikas sheyuchal chalik alafim lameis, who can take this aspect of the light that is shining in the thousand category, which is a greater, larger frame of quantity at least, and is hinting to a realm that's deeper, that's more expansive and exalted, and can chop up, so to speak, the 1,000 into 10 sets of 100. Let's say the category of 100, the human mind can grasp, that taka person can access. But before, it was a light that was on the level of 1,000. Let's say the human mind, vis-a-vis this categorization of spiritual revelation, the human mind can't grasp that, can't grasp 1,000. So for that, you need a tzaddik who's able to, so to speak, divide that great light and to bring it down in such a way that now it's in the gather of hundreds and hundreds the person is able to access. So it still ends up being the whole hasaga, but it's 100 at a time. 100, 200, 300, 400, so on, 800, 900, 1,000. But on the level of the thousands, it's impossible to access it. The tzaddik knows how to split this up and to bring down the light point by point. The tzaddik knows how to take this incredibly vast hasaga, this incredible light that, like light connotes, it's full of warmth and full of illumination and full of depth and clarity. Everything that we associate with light, it's not a physical light, the same way that it's not a physical world, right? In the same way, we're using metaphors. So it shines, doesn't shine. It's not a light, not a physical light, but it illuminates. And it does, in those realms, what light does in the Olam HaGashmi, in all of those realms, to the extent that 1,000 of those aspects are clarified, are made to feel warm. Things are made to be clear, lucid. The tzaddik takes that light, and he divides it, so to speak, lechalakim ketanim, and he enables a person to be able to access one by one all the different facets and aspects of it, whereas the whole thing would have been way too much. So that those who are on a lower madriga of hasaga, they couldn't access the whole thing, but they can get it bit by bit, bit by bit. Kamala Mashal, for example, when a person says a certain sweeping explanation of a Gemara, of a sugya, of a Talmudic give and take, and a whole sugya unfolds, different stages, different steps, and there's this shita in the Gemara, this opinion, there's the other opinion of the Gemara, and so it goes on, could be for 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, daf, gone for pages and pages and pages. And then somebody comes up with a sweeping understanding of how to explain the whole unfolding of the trajectory of the Gemara, step by step by step by step, that runs its theme and its thread through the entirety of the unfolding sugya. So a person wants to say a pshat, a chilek gadol, or to make an overwhelming distinction between two halachic concepts that have very, very wide implication, to answer up, let's say, 5 contradictory, seemingly separate stiras, contradictions in the Rambam, let's say, like the Ar Sameach does, or Meir Simchav Davinsk in his Pirish on the Rambam, right? And then in one piece of Ar Sameach, you can have the illumination of all different aspects of halacha because of one very subtle, nuanced presentation of a distinction that then answers up all these contradictions. These, not just this is not a contradiction to that, all of these, in all of these different areas of halacha, are no longer contradictory with all of those because there's a distinction between them. So this can be true and that can be true. But it's a huge idea, huge, deep, sweeping, nuanced, delicate, broad, profound. But we can't access it because it's so deep. And like, what's it gonna help if we sort of understand it, but like we don't really understand it, right? So it takes time. We have to slowly but surely present an idea, letter by letter, word by word, concept by concept, step by step. When we're able to go ahead and to divide it and to bring it down into separate concepts and to then analyze the distinction as it manifests in this area of halacha and then move on to the next area of halacha, it becomes a little bit clearer, now I see what you mean, then move on to the next area step by step, then it becomes a little bit easier to access. Avaloi b'miksas, but we can't grasp just one part of it. You are echad pashat, because this idea is one idea. Another mashal. Sometimes you'll find a person saying a thought, a dvar Torah, and in order to really grasp it, they need to give, let's say, 5 different parables to bring mishalim, or to tell 5 different stories where this idea comes out. And every time that we say another story, it becomes clear that people understand a little bit more what we mean, because the idea is so encompassing. It contains all of these different aspects. But if you just present the idea itself without any story, not going to really understand the breadth and the depth and the spectrum of application where this idea flourishes. If we only told one story, only reveals itself a little bit. But then piece by piece by piece, step by step, the idea begins to unfold. And so we need to find a tzaddik who's able to take one idea and bring it down in such a way where we could slowly but surely start to be able to grasp step by step, line by line, facet by facet, and then we have the whole diamond at the end in a way that we never could have if it hadn't unfolded the way that it unfolded. The ultimate source for this is Hashem creating the world. That's really the ultimate makar for this concept, right? Hashem is Echad Yachid Umiyuchad. Hashem is just one. Hashem is above time, above space. Hashem is in a place, so to speak, that's not a place because it's infinity. Hashem is in a time that's not a time because past, present, and future, which seem to be separate one from the other, are really folded up into something that we can't grasp because it's not even folded up into the present because it's not present vis-a-vis a past, vis-a-vis a future. It's beyond time. We have no asaga of what that means. We've never experienced that. Beyond time, beyond space. What does that mean? Hashem is in a different dimension. Now, for the human mind to be able to grasp Hashem, which is the ultimate purpose of the world, as the Zohar Kaddish tells us, why did Hashem create the world? Begin for the purpose, de'ishtimod in lay, for Hashem to reveal himself, to make himself known to human beings, to others, as it were, that we should create for him what's called a dira betachtonim, a dwelling place in the lower realm by coming to know Hashem, by living with Emuna, and allowing our true connection to Emuna to transform our experience of this realm. That's the ultimate purpose, the ultimate point. So it would have been way too overwhelming for this being to simply reveal himself on a level that would be well beyond what the brain is capable of. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? Instead, Hashem reveals himself through what's called the system of 10 sephiros. 10 different, we like to say, stained glass windows, each of which is a different color, so to speak, but the unified light of Hashem is shining through all of them, and then we're able to sort of grasp what this being is in the totality of all the different ways that he expresses himself. So he is absolutely unified. Echad Yachin Umiyuchad. There is one Hashem. He is not the spheros. The spheros are not him. And this is fundamentally where Christian paganism ultimately, you know, diverges from pure monotheistic theology, where they have this whole concept of the Trinitarian idea, right? Where, you know, the Son is not the Father. The Father is not the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost is not the Son, but all of them are God. There's no concept like this in Yiddishkeit. Echad Yachad Umiyuchad. There's nothing but the Ein Sof. That's it. Then there are Kalim. Hashem created Kalim. Hashem created separate tools so that he could allow us to be able to grasp bit by bit, so to speak, puzzle piece by puzzle piece, the whole thing, the whole picture. And he is not the spheros, but the spheros, each of the spheros, uniquely reveal one aspect of Hashem's light. Another word for the spheros that we might be a little bit more familiar with or comfortable with is midos. Hashem has the midah of chesed. Then Hashem has the midah of din. Then Hashem has the midah of rachamim. But if all we revealed was the concept of rachamim, which is balanced mercy, that's what mercy is, right? It's a mercy that's dependent on whether or not the person is deserving of mercy. I wouldn't have fully grasped that concept without first understanding midas ha-chesed, chesed that's unrestrained giving that wants to give to everything, then understanding midas ha-din, complete restraint, and then seeing how those things balance one another. That's a whole different thing. So that's the revelation of a light that existed beyond chesed, gvura, and tiferes. But when it comes down in such a way where it's bit by bit, then we can grasp it. And this is very deep. This is very deep because ultimately all the 10 spheros are the filtering of the light of Keser, that light of Kesser. And ultimately, that great, great, great revelation, which is way beyond us, which is infinite mercy, in our lived experience, we don't experience that. We needed so many different concepts that come down through the other spheres to be able to understand how Hashem is unfolding His infinite mercy through this experience of past, present, and future, through Chesed and Din and Rachamim and Netzach and Hod and Yesod and Malchus, all these different concepts and the ways that they interwork, they interconnect, etc., etc. So it's like 100 becomes 10. Right? It's like these 10 take that concept of 100 and break it down in such a way where, okay, we can begin to grasp this being who contains all of this infinitely and created this system to reveal Himself in such a way that the human being can slowly but surely, step by step, element by element, begin to understand how this whole world is the revelation of the divine. In a way that he never could without Hashem, so to speak, revealing Himself in more constricted ways. So it's the same thing with Torah. There are great Torah concepts. They need to be expressed slowly, bit by bit, step by step, in order to give people access to this. And this is the tzaddik. And Rabbi Nachman says a strange thing about this tzaddik. You have to have a prerequisite to be this kind of leader who's able to do this. Ach Talmud Chacham, this Talmud Chacham, this very wise, very, very brilliant person, needs to be someone shehu noikim v'noitar. He needs to have this attribute of like nekama, netira, this conflict-oriented nature, a person who is nokim, vengeant, the notar, like a fighting spirit. Who yachal chalik alafim l'meos? Only such a tzaddik who has that energy about him, which is a strange thing, is able to take these huge, huge ideas, the alafim, and to split them up in such a way where they can be presented bit by bit. Then a lachlik or gadol chalakim could take that enormous, great, infinite light. That's the aspect of 1,000, and to divide it in such a way, 100 by 100 by 100, so it can be accessed. And what's the reason that Rabbi Nachman learns? What's the connection? How does Rabbi Nachman know that only a tzaddik who's called noikim noitar, that he's able to do this? We're going to see that in a second. But anybody that's really learned Rabbi Nachman's Torah, in Likutei Maran specifically, knows what this is. Anybody who really, really immersed themselves in the teachings of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, the teachings of Rabbi Nachman, Torah Aleph, Torah Vav, Torah Yud, Torah Chaf, Torah Lamed Gimel, Torah Nun Beis, and so on and so forth, all these landmark teachings, they know what this is. Because when you step back from knowing, really grasping a teaching from Rabbi Nachman, I think I have on YouTube a 4-hour straight marathon shiur on Torah Beis, on the second teaching in Likutei Maran Tinyana, in the second volume, it's Rabbi Nachman's Chanukah teaching, 4 hours straight. When you step back after that, it's a kaleidoscope of ideas. It's a tapestry woven of many, many tens of different psukim, Mamar Chazal, different steps and concepts and theories and all woven together. But when you step back from it, it's just Torah base. It's just one Hasaga. It's very hard to express if you haven't experienced this. It's the light of Torah Beis that's way beyond the sum of the total of its parts. It's much more than that. It's a whole that's beyond the sum of the parts. And there's this idea where, like, as Rabbi Nachman is saying here, there's no way that we could have accessed that light without Rabbi Nachman unfolding this lesson, the way that he unfolds it, step by step by step. I'm just using Torah Beis as an example, where the Rebbe over there reveals the concept of Toda, Halacha, and the Rebbe speaks over there about the connection between blood and childbirth and damim, money, and that whole connection over there. Then the Rebbe reveals the three names of MS, and the Ribua HaDibur, all these brand new concepts, the 6 days of the week, and Shabbos, Noach, Matat, all these different things, the Rabbim and the Ma'at and the Yachid, etc., etc. When a person stands back and you see the whole structure, you know for sure that this is a heavenly light that came down in a way that's completely different than the light of Torah Aleph, the page earlier, and it's completely different than Torah Gimel and Torah Dalet. It's a unique R. But the only way that Rabbi Nachman could give us a little taste of that light is by unfolding it the way that he did. Line by line, step by step, pasuk by pasuk, ma'amar chazal by ma'amar chazal, pshat by pshat, step by step. So Rabbi Nachman over here is really describing his own methodology. This is exactly what he does. Use another example. Some of the chevra we may have learned over the years, Torah Yud together. Right? Torah Yud, I had a bunch of shiurim on it a couple of years ago. That's Rabbi Nachman's Purim lesson. A person who knows Torah Yud, it speaks about a million things. It starts with Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Har Sadeh Bayis, right? Different aspects of the Beis HaMikdash and non-Jews drawing themselves close. Then it moves into the concept of Tefillah and the concept of needing to ask a Chacham to Davin. And then it moves into the whole thing about the Shvatim and Yaakov Avinu. Then it goes into the concept of Amalek and Avodah Zarah. And then it goes into Ruach, dancing, the hands and the feet, Nigla and Nister, Mordechai, Esther. It's a gilui. It's a brand new revelation. As Rabbi Nachman's teachings, it's not like it's another sefer. It's there's nothing like it. There's completely nothing like them. Original revelations. But the way that they unfold is all these different concepts. Rabbi Nachman himself referenced this. He said that sometimes he struggles because he has this light that's beyond any words and beyond any specific concepts. And Rabbi Nachman is looking for what he calls Eze Maimer Lehitlabesh, right? Some pasuk or some Maimer Chazal to clothe this idea in. But it's not like Rabbi Nachman is learning a pasuk and he says, oh, and then he figures out a pshat. Rabbi Nachman is receiving visions. Like Rabbi Nachman is just downloading hasagos, perceptions of spirituality that are beyond words or letters. Then he goes ahead, and in order to communicate them, he needs to put them into words. He needs to put them into concepts and unfold them step by step. So Rabbi Nachman is the tzaddik that he's describing over here, which is usually the case for Breslov. Rabbi Nachman is always describing what he himself was doing. But over here, the tzaddik says that this person needs to be what's called noikim v'noitar. He needs to be like having a spirit of fighting. Now, the Rebbe is going to prove this from a pasuk in a minute, a pasuk in Mishlei and Rashi, Chazal. But just on a simple theory level, you and I can understand why this is true. Like, what's the connection between a tzaddik who's able to take the thousands and split them up into hundreds and this spirit of Nekima Natira, this fighting spirit? Very simple. The fighting spirit is the concept of din, separation between one person and the next. The person, the tzaddik, who has an neshama from the aspect of din, the aspect of separation, so he's a kalim-oriented tzaddik. He's a tzaddik who knows the secret of vessels. Because the light is indivisible. Light is just one. But the vessels, right, we call it ar, which is singular, and kalim. Vessels is something else. Vessels are multiple. That means that this is not that, and that is not the third thing. When we have adequate vessels, bringing all the vessels together, okay, so then we see the one light that's revealing itself so beautifully, like we said before about Hashem, revealing himself through the vessels of the spheros. But vessels are din-oriented, they're limiting, they're defining, definitive. This vessel is not that vessel. For example, this Jew is not that Jew. This is one body, this is another body, two different people. But the light that they carry is absolutely one. And if not for all of the different singular individual Jews in all of their different communities, throughout all the different epochs and eras of the Jewish nation's history, we would never have seen the revelation of this Jewish soul that's revealed itself in its full manifestation through hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of millions of Jewish souls throughout our long and storied history. Even what I'm doing now is this. Right? I mean, there's this idea, and I've been trying to explain it in many different ways. It's one hasaga, and I've used already two or three mashalim for it. Hashem and the Sefiros, different Jewish bodies and the Jewish soul. And then, like, we're speaking now, Or and Kalim, right? I am now going through the process of breaking a concept down, and then, oh, it's all one thing. Now we understand it more deeply. So that tzaddik that's rooted in din, that's rooted in Kalim, Noikim v'noitar, which is distance, one being from another being, he has a connection to this ability to chop up, so to speak, this broad idea and to deliver it in a way that is accessible to everybody. So here, Rabbi Nachman proves this from a pasuk. This concept that the Talmud Chacham, who knows how to be noikim and noiter, is able to divide the concept of the thousand into hundreds. Umafurish. It's an open pasuk. Kama shekasa, the pasuk says in Mishlei, v'shoyin nebedaver mafred alov. V'shoyin nebedaver mafred alov, meaning that a person that's shoyin nebedaver, a person that's like constantly, like you say in English, like harping on an injustice that someone did to them, mafred alov. Such a person is going to break up the friendship. Because if you can't overlook, right, because the beginning of the pasuk is a person that's looking for love, mechasib shayin, he covers over iniquities. But if someone does something not so nice, okay, overlook it, because the relationship matters more to you than that. But the shayinah b'davar, if a person is constantly just hyper-focusing on something negative that someone did to him, mafrad aluf, it's going to break up the friendship. The word aluf means a friend. Alufi umiyudai, David HaMelech, he calls Yainasan, my friend. Perish Rashi, but Rashi understands this a little bit more deeply. Rashi says, "What's v'shoyne b'davar? Da'inu noikim v'noitar." He's fighting with the person. Sh'shoyne b'davar sh'asol lechaveira. His friend did something not nice to him, and he's harping over it, and that's causing him to be noikim v'noitar. He doesn't want to give in. He doesn't want to get. Doesn't want to just fargin and just let the person carry on. Says Rashi, "Mafrid aluf." Doesn't mean just to break up the friendship, but in a certain sense, he's breaking up the unity of the Master of Heaven and Earth, Alufa Shalaylam of Hashem. Kach perish Rashi. So it's a very negative thing. According to Rashi, it's a negative thing to be noikim and noiktar is mafred alufa shalaylam. We have to be people that overlook. We have to be people that are willing not to get caught up on small things. That's the light of Purim, right? It's the great light of Purim, and on Purim. It's a time where we don't focus on the small things. This one did not nice to this one. This one did wrong to that one. It's the light of ad lo yada. It's beyond your logical mind, beyond the limitations of the mind's calculations. It's just drunken love, mamish love, like Rav Shlomo says. A person who's an unholy drunk gets drunk and he sees one thing and he thinks it's a thousand things. You hold up one finger, he sees four. But he says, a holy drunk on Purim, he sees a thousand things, and all he sees is one. That's what it means, the holy drunk on Purim. He sees a thousand, all he sees is Echad Yachad Miyuchad. Right? So it's not a good thing to be Chas V'Shalom, Mafred Alufa Shalaylam. Rabbi Nachman interprets it differently. Alva Talmud Chacham Tzarech Daik Olias Noikam Anaytuk HaMashah Amar Rabbi Sinuzal. The Gemara in Yuma tells us that a Talmud Chacham at Tzaddik needs to have this capacity called Talmud Chacham she'ina noikim v'noiter k'nachash. The Gemara says, any Talmud Chacham that's not noikim v'noiter like a snake is not a Talmud Chacham. Shocking thing. Shocking Gemara. But now we understand it, because the whole thing of Torah and mitzvahs is to build vessels for this great light. So of course a Talmud Chacham has to be able to do this, to take great ideas, to break them down. So based on this understanding that a Talmud Chacham needs to be noikim v'noitar, which is the beginning of that pasuk of Mishlei v'shoyne b'davar, that a tzaddik is able to go ahead and to be noikim v'noitar, and you can even say a remez v'shoyne b'davar. Shoyne is like a lashon shnayim. Shnayim. Davar is just singular. So v'shoyne b'davar, a person who's noikim v'noitar, means a person who is able to split the one thing up into the many. Now we understand. He's able to take the thousand and divide it into ten hundreds. Like Rashi says, if a person is noikim v'noitar, says Rabbi Nachman, it's a good thing. That's a reference to the Talmud Chacham. So what does he do? Mafrid aluf. He takes the light that's shining in aluf, which is alafim, which is in a thousand worlds, and he is mafrid. He is able to separate that great light into hundreds. Hainu shuhu mafrid u'mechalik alafim l'me'os. He takes that great light of a thousand and he divides it into hundreds. This is what the Gemara in Shabbos tells us. If you see such a Talmud Chacham who is noikim v'noitar k'nachash, like we said, chagreu al masnecha, tie him to your waist, so to speak. In the end, you're going to benefit from his teaching. What's the connection between him being noikim v'noitar, seeming to have a bad midah, a person who's plugged into the world of division and separateness and divisiveness? That such a person, what's the connection? That in the end, you should become a student because you'll benefit from his teaching. What does benefiting from his teaching have to do with him being a divisive person? So we now understand. Because if he's a person that's connected to the realm of kelim, of separateness, he's going to be a tzaddik who's able to take the biggest ideas and bring them down in such a way that they're relatable, that they're understandable, that they're accessible. Ki ha'yidei shu noikim v'noitar, because he's noikim v'noitar, like we said, because he has this midah of nekima and netira al yidei zayach l'chalek alafim l'me'ayos. Through this, he's able to divide these great, great, huge, tremendous hasagot, these huge ideas, and he's able to divide them. He could take this great light and divide it in a manageable way. So you'll gain so much from him. Because without this, we cannot get anything. Because again, the light is too much. It's overwhelming. It's inaccessible. Now the Rebbe says, again, you know, this is a little bit enigmatic. And I'm sure there, you know, if we took the time, maybe I'll try to give a little bit hints maybe to what this could mean. But the Rebbe over here says that no one understands really what it means. But it's just a fascinating thing. It gives you a window and an insight into just how deep Rabbi Nachman was, because he certainly knew what he was talking about here. I don't. Very, very few other people do. But listen to what he says. Aval ha-seichel v'hatam shel ha'inin zeh. Really being able to understand why this is the case. So I gave a little bit of remes, but really to fully grasp this, why it's only a person who has the midah of nekama and netira, is able to do this, to take this hasaga of a thousand and bring it into what's called the hundreds. This is very deep. Vida. And says the Rebbe, a person who knows this, Mishi Yedea Zois, a person who knows the secret, Yachal Hachias Mason. He could bring people to life. Could bring people to life. Dead people can bring them back to life. Kamoisha Amar Abbasinu Zal, like the Gemara says, Msachim and the Zayar, Asidim Sadikim Hachias Mason, that Sadikim are going to eventually be able to bring back the dead. Yedea Mahu Mace. And a person knows in the first place what it means to be dead. Because when a person goes ahead and he brings the hundreds down into the realms of the thousand, rather, down thousands or thousand down into the realm of the hundreds, he's able to take maves, right? The word maves, mem, vav, tav, which means death. And he brought the aleph of elef, of a thousand, down into that word. So that gives you me'os. Maves, add an aleph in between the mem and the vav. Maves, death, turns into me'os. How did you get the maves to turn into the word me'os? Because you brought the aleph, which is elef, which is the thousand, down into it, very deep. He's mechayim mesim. He takes mavas and he turns it into meyas by bringing down the thousand into the into the hundreds. Who can explain this? Not me. Total mystery. Just reading the words. And a person who doesn't know this secret, he does not know why, and this is a little bit mysterious. I think that it's talking about Rabbi Nachman. He doesn't know why Rabbi Nachman was then at the time saying this Torah b'simcha, very happy. Rabbi Nachman said this Torah on the eve of the bris of his son Yaakov. Rabbi Nachman had a number of children who were nifter. One of them was his son Yaakov. And Rabbi Nachman told this Torah over at the night of the Vachnach. There was one of his Talmidim brought fish and prepared fish for the bris, which is the following morning. And Rabbi Nachman was in a super happy space and he revealed this. We have no idea what was going on, who this soul of Rabbi Nachman's son was. And so I think he's literally referring to himself, that a person who doesn't understand this secret doesn't know why Rabbi Nachman mahu achsha b'simcha. Excuse me. Doesn't understand the secret meaning of this phrase, Baruch Shem, which is very deep because we say Baruch Shem right after we say Kriya Shema. And this is a very deep thing. In the deeper Sfarim, it's called the upper unity, Yehuda Ilah. That's Shema. And then Baruch Shem is called Yehuda Tata, the lower unification, very, very deep. So such a person who doesn't know any of these secrets doesn't really understand what Baruch Shem is all about. And he doesn't either know what it means, tzike kedera, which is like the scrapings at the bottom of the pot, which the Gemara Pesachim gives as a parable to explain why we say Baruch Shem quietly, why we whisper it. And the Gemara brings a thing about a princess who really wanted the scrapings from the bottom of a pot of food, but she couldn't ask for it because it was too embarrassing for her. She's a princess, but she really liked, you know, some people like the bottom of the lasagna, you know, the crunchy part. So she's a princess. It's not befitting for her, but she wants the crunchy lasagna over there, right? So it's gnai for her. It would be degrading. On the other hand, if she doesn't ask for it, so she doesn't have what she wants. So what should she do? Says the Gemara, she should whisper quiet, very deep. And this is the understanding of why we should say Baruch Shem quietly, even though Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say it. It's not in the Torah. But ultimately, this is how we follow up Kriya Shema. Of course, there's a tremendous amount of mystical depth to all of this. And this is what the Rebbe says. A person who doesn't understand the concept of taking the alafim and turning it into meis doesn't understand all of these things. So, mashal of asmelach sheiricha tzike kedera, right? Like the parable of the princess who smelled this bottom of the pot scrapings. Taimar, she says it, yesh l'gnai. It's embarrassing. Loi taimar, she doesn't say she wants it, yesh l'tzar. So she's going to miss out. So such a person doesn't understand this Gemara. Ve'ein yadea mazu chash michashmel. Such a person doesn't either understand the chash part, which is, means silence, of this thing chashmel that Yecheskel Hanavi sees. This, what we call electricity today, is chashmel. That's how we translate it. Chashmel is literally the speaking silence. Mal is miloshen mila, means a word. And chash is silence. Ve'ein yadea mazu noiga. He doesn't either know what the glow is. There was a glow surrounding the chashmal. He doesn't understand any part of the ma'aseh merkava. Doesn't understand the concept of the covenant. Nor does he understand why Rabbi Nachman had opposition. Incredibly deep. Says Rabbi Nachman, U'mashiach yodea kol ha'inyan hazeh b'shleimus. Mashiach alone will fully understand this concept. It's a total mystery. I could throw out ideas. I don't know what I'm talking about, though. It's a total mystery. Aval ha-tzadikim einam yoidim ela kisha oisem me'alaf emeis. The tzadikim won't really understand this unless the thousands are turned into hundreds. Ve'elu ha-tzadikim sheim noikrim noitrim. Those tzaddikim who are able to do this, they're like Mashiach's belt. Whatever this means, they're Mashiach's belt. As the Gemara says, like we already learned, If you see a Talmud Chacham who has this midah of Nekima Netira, Kinachash, Chagreu al Masnecha, right? Like we said, tie him to your waist. It's like a belt of Mashiach. About Mashiach's belt, it says, Vayat Tzedek Ezer Masnav. He has girded himself with righteousness. Righteousness, Tzadikim. Vayat Tzedek, Tzadikim, are Ezer Masnav, are the belt of Mashiach. Ketargumai, as the Targum says, Vahayon Tzadikaya Sechar Secharle. The Tzadikim are surrounding him. Hanemachinas Masin Masin. Or another way of saying this is masin masin, which is an aspect hainu meos, which is an aspect of hundreds. Hainu mishiach alachalik alafum lameos hem chagor lemashiach. Mashiach, by the way, is gematria nachash, and it needs to be noikim v'noiter kinachash, kinachash. So there's for sure a connection there between this midah of the nachash that Mashiach has to have, which is the hepech, which is the opposite of the Nachash HaKadmoni, to undo what the Nachash did, which was to drag Adam and Chava down into the world of vessels, but that not that the vessels should reveal the light of Hashem, but to allow them to live in the world of vessels, Eitz Hadas Toivera, to make a blemish in such a way that it didn't avail them access to the light of the One, to the light of the unity beyond all of creation, all of existence. But Mashiach's going to do the opposite. Mashiach Tafka has an achiza, has a connection to the world of Kalim. Mashiach is the concept of Malchus. Malchus is Din. Malchus is the aspect of Din. We refer in Eish HaShchayil. What are the words? Eish HaShchayil. Second. There are words in Eish HaShchayil that are slipping my mind now that refer to the Eish HaShchayil as dividing and giving out sustenance to Chalik Shalal, right? Something like that. So there's some words that are slipping my mind now, right? But anyway, that's a reference to Malchus. Malchus is Din. That's the Isha's job. That's the concept, to take something that's all-encompassing and then to allow it to develop. It's exactly what goes on in the womb of the Isha. That is the Koach of the Isha. That's the messianic spirit of the Isha, to be able to take this big idea and then to divide it in such a way that it could be accessible to allow the human being to develop from something that was much more concentrated but could do nothing with. That's the R of Malchus. That's the R of Mashiach. Mashiach Gematria Nachash. To be rooted mamish in this world, but to reveal a way of living in this world such that it does not conceal Hashem's light, but it reveals the light. How could this world reveal Hashem's light? Hashem is one. This world is full of multiplicity, of division, of separateness. And the answer is, well, it depends how you look at it. Because like we've said many times in the past, the word olam could mean that this world hides Hashem away. It's one way of looking at this world. But we could also see the hiddenness of the world not hiding Hashem away, but actually being the place within which Hashem is hidden. It's the only place you can find Hashem. Because you look around and you see everything as a revelation of Hashem. And everything is revealing Hashem in a way that we never could have accessed it without this exact experience of this world, the unfolding of history as it has unfolded, the unfolding of our own life stories as they are unfolding. This is the light of Mashiach. And this, according to Rabbi Nachman, is the secret of the concept of bris, the concept of merkava, the concept of noga, the concept of chash, the concept of tzike kedera, the concept of baruch shein, the concept of simcha, the concept of tchias hamesim, and ultimately the concept of why there was so much opposition to Rabbi Nachman himself. Mysteries. This whole piece is mysteries. But one thing I can tell you is that, like the Gemara tells us in Baba Metzia, Kraini de Igrisa, Iule Habi Purka, I think is the Lashon, right? Purka, that the person who brings the letter, he should be the one to read it. Rabbi Nachman, that's teaching us over here, or the one that carries it out. So Rabbi Nachman, the one that's teaching us all of this stuff, he himself is the one who does this. It's not like he's just reporting that there are some kinds of tzaddikim that are mafrid, you know, take up the thousands and bring them down to hundreds. He was talking about himself. He was talking about himself. And this light of the Rebbe, this light of his teachings, of his guidance, of his way of living, of his way of perceiving the world, when it's done in a healthy way, that's the light of Mashiach. That's mamash the light of Mashiach. And that's what Reb Nosson said, Mashiach shali kvar higia. Reb Nosson says, my Mashiach already came. Did he think that we were out of galus? Not for a second. But in the aspect of karva al nafshi ga'ala, on the aspect of a person having his own primary aspect of Mashiach, he was free. He was free. This was the light of Mashiach. And maybe on a very deep level, I was just speaking to somebody the other day, where Rabbi Nachman says, Ha'esh shali, my fire, tukar ad bias ha-Mashiach, will burn until Mashiach comes, I think is deeper than just, you know, him saying, my fire will last until eventually Mashiach comes. I think you read it differently. Ha'esh shali tukar. It is Rabbi Nachman's own fire that will burn steadily greater and greater and greater ad bias ha-Mashiach, until Mashiach is here. It's not two separate things. Mashiach will come at a certain time. Rabbi Nachman's letting us know, listen, my fire will be burning until then. No. There's a direct correlation between the burning fire of Rabbi Nachman, fire itself, which is rooted in din, which separates. So Rabbi Nachman said, my fire, even though the Rebbe is also water, Nachan aveh mekar chachma, because Rabbi Nachman is keser, and he's also malchus. That's where Rabbi Nachman says, my main thing is asiya, is doing. Ha'ikr hi asiya, which is malchus. And then another place he says, ha'ikr hu aratzin, which is keser. Rabbi Nachman is both. That's where Rabbi Nachman is rooted in Rosh Hashanah, which is 2 days. Dina kasha, dina rafya, two beginnings. Keser malucha. Malchus, 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 keser, 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 v'yitnu lecha, keser malucha. Rabbi Nachman is keser malchus. It's one thing. It's one thing. The Rebbe is keser malchus. Nachan aveh mekar chachma. That's the water of the Rebbe. That's the chesed of the Rebbe. Oh, but the Rebbe had so much kalim. So much kalim. The Rebbe's mamish rooted in fire, which is, takes one thing, burns it into many ashes. Lehit porer. Burns things into separate concepts. Yeah, what's the word? Isolates different elements of Yiddishkeit. So then we see all of them as revealing the one singular light of Yishuv Hadas, the one singular light of Gilui Elikus, the one singular light of Tikkun Hamalchus, Gilui Shechina, Gilui Kfoide Yisbarach, Kfoide Eliki. That's what the Rebbe is. That's the Rebbe's light. So when we read about this thing taking thousands and turning it into hundreds, irrespective of whether we understand all the different inyanim, Mashiach will explain it. Just like the Rebbe said that Mashiach would explain his Sefer, the Sefer HaNiknas, the hidden book. He said, no eyes laid, no set of eyes in the world other than Rabbi Nachman laid eyes on that book. He said, Mashiach will explain its meaning. So we don't need to understand all of this, but understanding Rabbi Nachman's approach is itself an experience of this kind of tzaddik, being the one who, so to speak, carries the letter and is the one who's carrying it out. What a privilege to be connected to this tzaddik, to these teachings, to this way of thinking, to this way of living, to this hopeful, hopeful, hopeful way of understanding that despite how dark the world becomes and despite how limited things may seem, It's all vessels for the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all vessels. This book is called The Hidden Book. Rabbi Nachman wrote three Sfarim. Likutei Maran is the lowest of the three. The one above it is called the Sefer HaNisraf. It was a Sefer that Rabbi Nachman dictated to Rabbi Nosson. Rabbi Nosson wrote it down and then Rabbi Nachman burned it very deep. Why he burnt it, Tikkunim, wasn't for the world. And then the third highest Sefer Rabbi Nachman wrote and hid away. Nobody saw it. And about that sefer, he said, when Mashiach comes, he'll teach the world the meaning of that sefer. Mysteries, mysteries, mysteries. Okay, amazing. So I know today was a little bit less practical, but hopefully still useful. Of course, still useful because we're connected to this, for this tzaddik and his teachings. What a schus. So thank you all for joining me and wishing everybody a lichtig, a beautiful, incredibly elevated Purim. We have on YouTube, we just did a very beautiful Eilecha event, Matzah Shabbos, so that was posted. It's up there. It will probably be on SoundCloud later today. And there's a lot of other Purim content as well on the SoundCloud. You can just type in and search many years worth of Purim teachings. Okay, so if anybody is interested in preparing a little bit more deeply. All right, Chazak v'amatz, all the best. We'll see you on the other side, Be'ezus Hashem. Thank you. Thank you so much, Chevra.